I would like to start my presentation with acknowledgement of my co-author, Gan Liu, and he was visiting me in the last few years. Now it's back to China Agricultural University. And there's a previous presentation already introduced the different heat pulse probe method. We have the single probe method, and it has been mainly used to measure heat conductivity only, and then the dual probe to measure all the thermal properties, include thermal conductivity, diffusivity, and the heat capacity. And with the heat capacity, we can back out soil water content. And there's a multi-probe approach, like Jan Hoffman's multi-needle and the penta-needle probe method. And it's basically all based on the dual probe method. And with the dual probe method, we have the needle inclination problem because it's very sensitive to the spacing between the sensor needle and the heater needle. And because of the small needle, if you have a contact issue with the soil, of course, you're going to get a big problem. So you also have the small measurement volume. As a result, you have overestimation of heat capacity, particularly in dry soils. And for the single probe method, and it's mainly has been used to determine the soil thermal conductivity based on continuous heating, very small amount of heat, but continuous, not a heat pulse. And so it's based on the long time behavior. So the small time usually ignored. We just take the long time measurement because there's a good analytical solution for that. And for determination of heat capacity, and White et al., 2005 and 6, used the single probe to measure the methane hydrate in deep seas. And so they could determine the heat capacity from the in deep seas. And there was another study to determine the heat capacity using the, rock sediment. And the advantage of the single probe is insensitive to needle inclination, and you can have a longer probe in, and larger measurement volume. And so the objective of this study is to determine if a single probe can be used to measure heat capacity of dry soil, not only the thermal conductivity, but also the thermal diffusivity and the heat capacity. So the theory is based on actually a Canadian physicist who published the analytical solution for infinite cylindrical heat source in soil. And it's published in 1954. And this solution is different from the infinite line solution in that it's considered the thermal contact resistance between the probe and the soil. And also it assumes very large thermal conductivity of probe relative to that of soil. Based on this assumption, you can derive an analytical, semi-analytical solution because it has an integral there, and you just cannot get it analytically. And the solution is pretty complicated. I guess in the 1950s, the computer is, the technology is not that advanced, and Blackwell actually obtained approximation from small time into larger time. So if we have the continuous heat input, we have the temperature measurement in the heat needle, and the temperature rise as a function of time gonna be looked at in logarithm scale. So the time is in logarithm. And based on the small time behavior, we can obtain the thermal contact resistance. And based on the large time behavior, and we can determine the thermal conductivity. And if I write this in formula, it would be like this. So the small time approximation equal to a function of time, time squared, and time to the power of 5 over 2. for large time behavior, the T is actually a linear function of log time with those parameters, and we could figure out what is the thermal contact resistance, or in this case, it's the thermal contact conductivity. And then we can figure out the thermal diffusivity based on the intercept and slope of the large time approximation. And the thermal conductivity is just equal to Q, which is the heat strength, and divided by A. And once we have alpha, which is thermal diffusivity, and the thermal conductivity, we can figure out what is the heat capacity. So to test this, and we use the three soil samples. One is a coarse sand, actually it's not a soil, it's an industry sand. And one is a fine sand collected from a location called Great Sand Hill in Saskatchewan, and a medium sand from Fort McMurray, Alberta, where you have the long-term vegetation monitoring in the oil sand area. So for the single probe, we used a thicker wall stainless steel tubing. So it's 11 centimeter long, and we have one loop of resistor wire, and the Q, which is the heat strength, equal to 5 watts per meter. For the dual probe, which is almost a copy of Jan Hopman's five needle design, and it's a thin wall. It is 2.8 centimeter long, not 2.6, and it's a two loop resistor wire, and the heating duration is 8 seconds, was 8 seconds. And in order to verify, because this is all indirect method, we also use the differential scanning calorimetry to determine what is the heat capacity of the three material, and one machine from University of Saskatchewan and double checked by China Agricultural University, because one of the sand material has very low heat capacity. We just have some doubt, so we did that measurement too. And this is a typical curve of the temperature rise for a continuous or the single probe method. So it rises up with time, initially very sharply, and then flatten off, reach almost like a linear relationship later on. And if we take the logarithm time, and we get the small time behavior and the large time from 400 seconds to 600 seconds. So basically, we heat up the probe in 10 minutes. And this is the small time because thermistors have a time delay, so we need a response delay. So we need to determine that delay. So we just use a simple linear regression at the small time to determine what is the time delay. And then we fit the equation to the curve. We can determine what is the, the thermal contact conductivity. So this is the small time. So we fit the equation to there, we can obtain what is the thermal contact conductivity, especially from this curve. You can see the fitting, the small time, the large time are very well. And so we can obtain the needed parameters. And one thing is the thermal contact conductivity. And for the three soil with different particle size, the thermal contact conductivity is almost the same. So what this says, it's the thermal conductivity is a more property of the probe geometry rather than a soil property. So once you have your probe defined, then you can actually apply that parameter you measure directly into two different soils. And this is the result of specific heat capacity from actually four methods. And one of the reviewer asked us to determine what is the heat capacity determined from a hollow tube, which would be a cylindrical surface source instead of cylindrical heat source. So we use that as a single probe hollow, and the DP is the dual probe, and the SP is the single probe, and the DSA is the differential scanning calorimeter. And you can see that the blue bar is the differential scanning calorimeter. For the first sample, it's a very low, 660, and we have the 720, 756. So these are the right range for sand. And then if we use the single probe, we get about 700 for the coarse sand, and then we get, again, about 700 there. And anyway, it's very close to the DSC measurement. But for the dual probe, and you have almost always over 20% overestimation of the heat capacity in the dry soil. And if we use the cylindrical surface heat source, and I don't think it's a good approximation to the heat pulse probe because it's really it's a cylindrical heat source. And you have actually 30% underestimation of the heat capacity in the dry soil. And if we just use a ratio, so ratio to, we treat the DSA measurement as the true value, and then we can see this overestimation about by 8%, this underestimates by 5%, and this is almost identical to the DSA measurement. And the DP method, of course, the overestimated by the first one, almost 30%, 25%, and 25%. So the conclusion is the three soil had similar thermal contact conductivity. And this says once you determine for one soil, you can use that value as the property of the probe and apply to different soils. And the reason that is, I think that is significant because usually to determine the thermal contact conductivity, you need a faster measurement. And our data logger have a problem particularly with many thermistor or thermocouples. And ignoring thermal contact conductivity lead to large error in estimated heat capacity. Even though the thermal contact conductivity is almost the same for the three soils, but if you ignore it, you would have a large error. And the single probe results in similar heat capacity to that of the DSA measurement. And the single probe method seemed less prone to overestimation of dry soil heat capacity. And we only have done this in three soils. We began to test it in wet soils to see if you could estimate the water content from the obtained heat capacity. And also, thanks to Jan Hoffman for hosting part of my sabbatical where I learned the heat pulse probe, and Dr. Ren from China Agricultural University for providing additional set of DSA measurement for the soil sample, and support from NSEC and, I guess, China National Science Foundation. I would appreciate questions.
Did you check those against liquids of known specific heat, like water
we did use agar solution. Follow the U approach.
And what did you get from that?
We get an almost identical heat capacity water.
So it's interesting that you get such good heat capacities with a single probe. I mean, there's some old literature, like contemporaries of Blackwell, people like DeVries and others, who predicted you'd never get within 15% of the right heat capacity, accuracy on the order of 15, no better than 15%, even accounting for the contact conductance. So I'm curious what you think is different in what you're doing now than, I mean, why are others predicting we would do so poorly and yet you've done quite well?
Yeah, I think there are two issues. One is the sampling frequency issue. So you need a fast measurement because to determine the heat capacity, the thermal contact conductivity, you need to measure at least 20 measurements in the first second. That's what matters for determination of the heat capacity. I guess for Blackwell, he only developed the theory, even though he said he has the second part of paper of application.
I don't think it ever appeared.
We couldn't find it. I think the computer was an issue. The second issue is the thermal conductivity of soil compared to the stainless steel. This two has to be really large. For example, for wet soil, the difference between the heat, the thermal diffusivity of the wet soil and the stainless steel is not large enough. So you need to make a large difference in order for this to work really well. But for dry soil, the difference is large.
Thank you.